Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And we're listening to Fiber Talk, the midweek version of the Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework ground cloth stabbers. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stabbing. Stabbing sure. Today, huh?
We might mm-hmm. as well. Yep. So I hope people are enjoying the new video format. We've had several comments, people saying they like looking at our faces. So
I don't know why.
Whatever works. But people have enjoyed it. So no Stitch Hour tonight because we had it last week. Sunday's show. Okay, Sunday coming up is Gail Stafford. So be sure and check that out. Needlepoint, Kana Canvas. Yeah. Yeah. Probably
she's an
one of
person, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, probably one of the maybe there's only a couple, three Kana Canvas people, designers that we haven't talked to.
Yeah.
Can't be many. We got most of them.
No.
So that'll be Sunday. And then this past Sunday, Kathy Andrews. Oh.
She was good.
Yeah. She's always good.
Yeah.
But, she took a class on restoration and conservation of needlework, textiles.
Right. Textiles. Yeah. Any sort of textiles.
Yeah. We learned a lot from her.
Yeah. And the things she learned in the class with being with other people who weren't necessarily textile art conservators. Weren't there some book people in there?
And a ton of museum people. Majority were museum mm-hmm. people. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. Just talking to them would have been fascinating.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. She made me want to go. I was in my boys' room and I wanted to go dig through and find the microscope. I've got a microscope in there somewhere and it makes me want to go take it out and start looking at stuff.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. And it's University of Wisconsin in
Beloit.
Beloit. Yep. So just over the border, Illinois, just over the border. Like I used to live an hour away, hour and a half away. Yeah. Give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah, of all the places in the world, you would not expect it to be there. But they're looking to do more of those classes, and it sounded like it was rather economical for a full-blown college university class. There'll be a survey. There's a survey. Fill that in because they want feedback so they can figure out what to do. Kathy opened their eyes. They didn't realize there was a world of us. They thought it was all museum people. Yeah.
Right. People who collect samplers, who collect any sort of needlework. How do you preserve it? How do you preserve something so you can pass it on to the next generation? And I think of quilters.
Mm-hmm.
You've got these, some of them you use, but some are heirloom. You want to keep. They're special. And how do you take care of them?
Yeah. Right. No, I could. Well, she said, she basically made them aware of a whole world of people who could take their classes and learn from them. I'd take one in a heartbeat. That looked like you'd come away with a lot of cool knowledge. Yeah.
Right. And just general knowledge to help you with your needlework. It was just fun to listen to her.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you haven't checked that out, check it out. Is worth it, and we'll see how Kathy goes. I'm pretty sure that she's going to apply some of this stuff, so it might be fun in 6 months or so to come back to her and see what she's learned about her own collection.
Right.
You know, based on this new knowledge. So we'll
right, because that's the original reason she took the class.
Original reason
for taking the class was, to preserve one of her samplers.
Yeah. Because
it was too expensive to have someone professionally conserve it.
Right.
It was out of her price range.
Yeah. Because, she was telling about she had a hole in it, in one mm-hmm. of them. And then, so she learned how to stop that hole from getting worse, which kind of key.
Right.
So. Right. Yeah, so anyway, if you missed that, be sure and listen to it. or watch it. Yeah, everything we do now, you're getting talking heads on YouTube.
Unless we can't talk to people into doing a video,
Yeah, well, these days when I'm arranging new ones, I'm just not offering audio. I'm just saying this is how we do it. So I actually rewrote all the basic instructions because I have a set of instructions, and I hold my hand up because it's about that high on an email. It's about that high, about 2.5 inches. So I hold my hand up to show you how the list is that long. I have no idea why. I rewrote the instructions. We're just going all in. Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
Video.
Yep. So that, and then speaking of video, Wednesday night, Rita Gecht. Holy smokes.
That was excellent.
That was beyond what I ever imagined it would be. If you missed that, if you missed the Wednesday night Stitch Hour, it's in the live section of the YouTube channel with Rita Gecht at the New Hope Arts Center. If you missed that, you missed out. Go watch it. Dryer lint?
Yes.
You got to be kidding me. I can't get over that.
See, and I've seen people use dryer lint before.
Well, new to me.
Not that well.
No.
Not that well.
No.
That was very cool. People should look at that. And then the other one is the big wall that she called her exuberant wall. Was that what it was called? Anyway, with the big quilt and the two on the side.
Yep.
And I'm still, I almost want to go back, watch the video, find that section and I'm using my fingers too now, take a screen capture of that section, because the colors on the quilt and on the needlework on either side, I think they were weavings, were just fantastic. And I just want to look at them again. I wish we lived closer, because I would be there on the floor, sitting there watching, just looking at them.
After Wednesday night, if we lived within driving distance, Thursday morning at opening time, I would be there at the door waiting.
Yes.
I got to see that stuff.
And I looked up, because I have a brother-in-law who lives in Pennsylvania, and I was like, okay, how close is he to them? And could I convince Max to go see his brother?
Yeah.
No, Gettysburg's a little ways away. So.
Oh, bummer. Yeah.
Rats.
Yep. But the New Hope Arts Center, it's in a restored theater. So stage, and then all the seats are gone. So it's just this massive place with a stage. Holy smokes, that was just, I never, because, you know, we had those tours that we did in Australia.
Right.
Well, you know, that was high-end stuff, you know. I mean, that was really sophisticated stuff. And, well, we talked to Rita. We knew that weaving-wise, we were going to get some pretty stellar art. But that exhibition is just above and beyond. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And the one she showed that was in the middle of the room, the one that had its own special loom they used, that was that very architectural, airy. Yeah. I wanted to go look at that one again. I wanted to go see it in its environment. Mm-hmm. And then, because it was, you have to see an image of it. It was just gorgeous. But I wanted to walk around it and see what it looked like. Yeah, just experience it. It's more than just looking at an image.
That one absolutely, you cannot appreciate it through video or a photo. You can just tell you have to be there. You have to be there to get the full impact. Yeah.
Dryer
lint. I can't believe it.
Dryer lint. You never heard of using dryer lint? I had. Mm-mm. I had for like mixed media. The other thing that impressed me about the building was the stone walls. And I didn't ask her about them, and I kind of wanted to know, were those original or did they redo the walls there?
Yeah, good question. Yeah.
So just on the stairwell, that was very cool. So yeah, go watch that video. That was a lot of fun.
That was so nice. Way beyond what I imagined. Well, I think any of us, beyond. No, that was so cool. Yep.
No. Yeah.
So we'll keep tabs on the ladies at the New Hope Arts Center, and Rita Geck, because there'll be more coming from them, I'm sure. And we'll now that we got one shot, because you got, you know, this you got to have a little experience doing these things. Now they have an idea of what we need, and yeah, we'll get some more out of them. That's cool stuff.
And, it was nice that it was it was invitation, and then she had people who submitted, so it was juried too.
Right.
I think.
Right.
And so that was fun hearing how she picked things and.
Right.
Oh, that was great.
And the advice that she was giving to people who were, and there were a couple instances, there was that one that was hanging by that curtain rod, and then she showed how if that were lifted up so you didn't see the rod, how it completely changed the piece. That was that waterfall.
Right.
Little things, you know, little things that, oh, man, it was the coolest thing. Yep. I want to go.
I want to go see it. See it live.
Yeah.
See it live.
Yep. So go check that out. That was a special one right there. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Hands Across the Sea sampler charts, $10 at Sassy Jack's. Get them. Clean Kim out. She wants to move all those out. So it's not all of them, but it's most of them. Still $10. So those things that are normally $30, you can pick up for $10. You know, if you got a chart you wanted to get, latch onto it.
Right. And, or just you want to have a, you know, if you'd like a section of it again, like what Jessica was doing on the Tour de France, our Tour de Broderie, as you were calling it.
Yeah. Well, we're cultured.
Yes.
Tour de Broderie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're cultured. Okay, so that whole subject. All right. Go back. Jessica Grimm was taking motifs out of look like old samplers and making needle minders. And I put a link in a couple of places for she put up the instructions for how to do that. If you want to make some really cool needle minders by stitching some motifs and then finishing them off as a needle minder, she has a way of doing it that anybody can do. You don't have to have any talent, experience, anything. You can do it. So go check that out, because she put full instructions with photos and everything. And I'll put a link in this. I'll make a note here. I'll put a link in this show notes too to that, so that you can get to that. But it's because gifts, you know, guild events.
Right. You know, retreats, anything like that. And the other thing I thought was neat is she was using her stash. She had some variegated threads. You don't need a whole bunch of a thread. You could just say, okay, I want to see what this looks like when it's stitched up. Use a little section. And then you get to see the variegation, how it works out. So I loved that idea. Now, I do it, but it gives you a little sampling even, you know, of your threads. You're not using a whole lot, probably a couple lengths or whatever.
Right.
But it's not going to use a lot to finish a motif, and then you can see how it actually stitches up.
Yep. Yeah. So watch that. All right. So Tour de France. All right. We threw that together. It's all Jennifer's fault. I mean, we're just going to put that out. It's completely Jennifer's fault.
Jennifer's fault. Absolutely. Absolutely, because, you know, she was going to spin, and so we thought, oh, well, we'll stitch.
Right. So we blame it all on her. You know, that's she can handle it. Okay, so the question is, do we do it again?
Right.
Because it was a lot of fun, and having Paula and Jessica, and we should have had next, if we do it again, Paula, we're going to get Paula on live more often. We just did the one day, but she was on vacation. I felt like I was imposing on her if I made her, you know.
Do the show with us.
Yeah. I wasn't comfortable doing it, but next time with some planning. But I don't know. To do it was fun. What did you think?
I enjoyed, like, the one I didn't attend a lot of them. So I watched the very last one that I think you had. It was like 2 hours long or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to cut it off. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I watched it, and it was very interesting to listen to you all talk. Jessica was an interesting conversationalist, and it made me think more about my exercise life, to be honest. You know, here these people are competing in bicycling, but I'm thinking, oh, you know, I've kind of slacked since I broke my kneecap on walking, yeah. you know, even walking. And I'm thinking, okay, you know what? I need to pick this back up again. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing, I enjoyed it. It was great fun. But I like having a podcast going, like when I'm washing the dishes or doing some housekeeping, or now's the season to be canning. So that would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably go back and listen to some more of them that I missed. Yeah. And I enjoyed being on. And the only problem was I couldn't stitch and watch the bike race because I didn't know enough about what was happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I had to pay attention to the bike race or my stitching. I couldn't do both.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm
that. Yeah. There's a lot of dead time, but if you don't realize what's going on, you don't really know where the dead time is at.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's like, no. And then I went to look at the scenery too. So,
man. Isn't that stunning? That whole country is just gorgeous. It's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm really torn because I really enjoyed it, but it what I've been struggling with is it works if we're watching the live show, because the live feed, because then everybody can do it, okay, at the same time. Because I thought, well, what if we did it later in the day, which would be the evening for the European people, because it was late afternoon for them. What if we did it earlier in the day or later in the day and watched the replay?
The replay, right.
But where do you start? Because we were starting with like the last hour and a half of the thing. So where do you start? You can't.
And they were almost done.
Right. That one day, well, a couple of days where they were essentially done. So that's a problem. And then the last day, time trials take forever. And that was a long time trial. Then we had to cut it off before we saw the end of the race. So, because I had to go. You know, I had to go. I didn't think it would go that long. So yeah, that's the trouble when you try and tie in with live event. Mm-hmm. You're at the mercy of somebody else.
Right.
But it was fun. Now, Jessica was saying that there was apparently some noise in Europe about maybe starting later because these guys are racing so fast they're finishing earlier. Now, if that happens next year, then that's ideal, because the selfish part for me is it really interfered with my morning bike ride.
Mm-hmm. Me too. It's gardening season. I don't want to be gardening in the afternoon.
Right.
Here. No.
Right. Now, that's where, so same for you, different activity, but same for you. And because I was having to cut ride short. I was getting up and leaving at 5:30 in the morning. I was getting up at 4 and leaving by 5:30 in the morning. I had to actually have my light on my bike so I could be seen in the, you know, before sunrise and mm-hmm. to get enough miles in. So I had to make some adjustments there, which was okay. And the only reason that's an issue is I'm trying to get 10,000 kilometers for the year. And I got to ride a lot.
I was going to say, no slacking.
Because 10,000 kilometers is 6,250 miles in a year. I got to ride every day as much as I can.
Yeah.
So I was cutting those short. And it's the same for you, because here in St. Louis, if I wait till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, it's 90, 95 with humidity through the roof. No thanks. Pass.
And the sun beating down on you, it's just like, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I just can't do it.
Right. So from a selfish perspective, that was an issue for me.
Right.
So I was cutting rides short, and I made it work, but it was like, oh boy, if I had one more hour on the back end of that thing, I would, you know, it would be better. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that they'll move the start time next year, then it's a non-issue.
Right. So, right. Cause get everything done before they start, you know, easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm with you. I used to have a backyard full of flowers, and you either weed in the morning or you let them grow another day.
Right. Just, yeah. Right. You might go out in the evening and pick a few, but, you know.
No thanks. Yep, yeah. You're done. So, but people seem to enjoy it because there was, we would have 20 or so people every day, and then the viewership afterwards was surprisingly high. I mean, we've got a couple of them over 1,000, so for a bike ride and stitching, you know.
Right, right.
So I think it's worth doing.
And spinning. Maybe we could learn to spin before the next one.
Oh, Jennifer in her spinning wheel, sitting there and watching that spindle of blue yarn grow. Oh, so cool.
I know.
So cool.
And then that drop spindle she had with, and I think it had the different multicolored fluff.
Yeah,
it was like pink and a white and a purple. And watching how that, she showed just an, what she'd spun already, but it looked so neat how it was all variegating out. And then she says, you just don't know how it's going to look. And you just go. And
go I'm for like, it. See, yeah, I know.
That is so cool. That is so cool. And I, you know what? I realize I probably will never spin because I don't have the hand-eye coordination.
Oh.
I never have. I've never been very hand-eye coordinated. So that's why I don't play tennis or pickleball or any of that stuff. It's like, I can't. I'll just be like, it's a mess.
I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. I got to get at least some thread I can hold up and say I spun that. I got to. I just have to. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I might try again, watch a few videos and try again, but I think I'm going to use the fluff for needle felting.
Okay.
I have an idea. It's not going to go to waste.
Okay.
Got a plan.
She's so automatic at it, though. It's just like, holy smokes.
I know.
Yep.
I know. Jennifer's
and having,
good.
Having Jessica and the, that day that she did, showed us pictures from her tour of those Stone Age replica things. Wow. It was cool.
Yeah, that was neat. Yeah. That was neat. So. And then she had a great idea of maybe when they go through a region, show the needlework from that region. Or, you know, that would be great fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's going to take some planning.
That's planning, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, if we just did it a couple of places, you know, that would be a fun.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure she could help us with that. So, all right. Well, I'm not writing it off. I enjoyed doing it. It was a lot of fun. So I'm not writing it off. And I got a bunch of stitching done. So,
win-win.
Yep.
Oh, so what were you working on?
Well, the Avlia, what is that? The Sea of Light.
Yes.
Thing. Yeah. So I haven't stitched much on it since. But
you're doing great. Look at that border.
It's coming right along. It's a cool piece. So, it was sitting there and it was in the hoop, so I had to take it out of the hoop so I didn't want it creased. But
right. Okay, so do you know what cloth that is? Is that a linen or is it her Mikaninos or?
No, it's her. It's not the McKinney or Mikini.
Yeah.
Pardon me while I make a little noise. Traditional ground cloth, 26 count traditional ground cloth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's really nice to stitch on. So, yeah, I'm going to keep plugging away at that because I really would like to have that so Margaret can put it on a table.
Well, and I've washed one of those before, and so it washes really nice. I think that's the other thing that I really liked about that it there was something about it after you, because I manhandled it for over a year, and it needed to be washed.
Yeah.
No problems washing. And then the fiber felt really good when you were done giving it
a little
bath.
You hand washed it?
Yes. I just threw it in, I think I didn't use Dawn. I used Synthrapol, which is. No.
Just seeing if you're awake.
Yeah. No. Joy?
Joy?
No.
I dated her. That was not a pleasant night. No. Mm-mm.
So sorry. No. Sorry.
Yeah. Happens. No. You know.
But I like her. I do like her. If anyone is kind of hesitant, thinking, oh, it's because it kind of, when you first feel it, you think, oh, that's kind of doesn't maybe, you don't think it's going to be as nice, but it feels really great after you wash it, I think.
Yeah.
I think that adds to it. because I have a piece here. This is what I'm working on. That's Eplia. It's here's the image.
The Baltic Easter basket. Yes. Oh, that's right. Because you're going to use that as a bread basket cover thing, right?
Right. And so I changed it to. This is the back here. Let's use our new toy.
We'll have a photo for the audio listeners.
So this is in. Let me give me a second here, kind of arranging things. But there's the green. And here we talked about you basting it.
Yes.
So I basted mine also, but I just, because mine is the center start, I just basted the center like a star and then diagonals.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I knew where it was, where I was heading.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and this is a huge amount of fabric. And I was looking, I was like, I might have to add an extra border. No, she's got a border. So there's another star patterns over in here that need to go in. So
it's going to be nice. That's a good color too. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. And it's Cosmos. I got it. The Cosmos from Kim. I could have asked, Krista, she would have changed the colors for me.
Yeah.
But at first I thought I wanted to do it in the red, and then I thought, no, I think I like the green better. So
yeah,
I changed it out.
That'll be nice. No, these are just great designs. Yeah.
And it's fun. It's a fun stitch. I take mine with me when I'm visiting family and we're just sitting around the table and I need something to do. So I, keep my hands busy.
Yep.
So.
No, that's nice. Yeah. Yeah. So.
But I do like the ground cloth. I do like it a lot.
Yeah. No, that's a nice one. I really like her stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the cloth is so nice. It's just such a nice cloth. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I don't know what this is because it's not, it didn't come labeled. I know it's not the linen because it doesn't feel like linen.
Yeah. But the one you're using, does it say it's traditional ground cloth or traditional?
No, it didn't. It said it's 30 count thread is what it is, some sort of 30 count fabric.
Oh.
And I think she originally did it with Legacy Linen Swan Feather, which is what I think my other of Leah pieces is on linen. But she ran out of it. And she used something else in this kit, which is fine.
Okay. Yeah.
It's lovely. Whatever it is, it's lovely. And
we're gonna try something here. I'm gonna try and switch you to the other side. Hang on. Got it.
Ooh. Magic.
I think that works. Okay, what was driving me nuts is when I look at your face on the screen, I was looking off the screen to the viewer, which is weird. Oh. Now I think I'm looking at you. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Don't try to understand. It was just bugging me, so
I
made it work.
One of those things, huh? One of those things. Okay.
Can't help it, you know? Just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So, I think Tour de France, we're going to keep that on the board here. Cause the Tour de France, the women race is coming up in August. Tour de France Femme, Avec Zwift, because Zwift is an online riding training tool that I use and they sponsor it. I was thinking about, because it's only a week, so I was thinking about doing it again.
Ooh.
In August. That's why it's on my mind.
Same bat time, same bat channel?
Right, but it's only a week.
Okay.
Not 3 weeks, so.
Which is better.
Right, so I'm thinking about that, yeah. And the women are a blast to watch because it's a completely different style of racing. They go at it all different, and
So would we need to resubscribe to Peacock?
If you canceled it, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
you canceled it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it would cost you another $6. So
that's all right.
We'll see. I don't know.
Let us know. Because if you're going to do that, we'll just have to pencil that in. Because it was fun. And I just have to arrange my schedule,
right.
Mark it off on my calendar and say, okay, let's see how we can arrange this.
Right.
Because I think it would, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Fun. We'll see. People seem to enjoy it. So, you know, I mean, in no way we were expecting huge crowds because it's in the morning on a weekday, for crying out loud. You know, that's not going to happen. Right. But it was fun. Yeah. And the women are, it's a lot of fun to watch because, yeah, they do. They approach it different. I always remember.
Do they race the same area?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like eight. I think it's eight stages. I think it's eight. But now, yeah, they go up some of the same mountains and yeah, it's,
okay.
It's just a stupid thing because they've never had, like they used to give them a day. So like on the last day of the, here I'm using like, I got to quit using like. So on the last day of the Tour de France, they would have a Tour de France for women and they would have a 1 day race. And come on, because they didn't think the women could handle it. I mean, it was really just this sexist, women can't handle it. And I think I've told this story before. There's a group of women who here just 3 or 4 years ago rode every stage of the Tour de France, the men's Tour de France, rode every stage, the entire thing, each time the day before. And they rode all the transitions because what we don't see is depending on where they end a stage, they may travel by bus, and there have been times when they've actually flown to a new city for the start the next day. And we don't see that. Ooh. Those women rode all that distance, all the transitions to the next city to prove the point. And they weren't even professionals. They're good amateur riders just to prove the point. And then Zwift came along and said, all right, we'll sponsor it if we get to be part of the name. And then they made it a week long. And now this year they're going to have a couple of, because then, oh, they were not going to put big mountains in because the women can't handle the big mountains. Oh, spare me. And so now this year they're going to get big mountains in. It's annoying. You know, I mean, these are professional women. They ride this stuff all the time. The one that was we mentioned in with Jessica that was doing Dutch TV, Annemiek van Vleuten, she trains with the men. She's retired now, but she trained with the men in the mountains. You know, come on, it's every day. Mm-hmm. So right. It just annoyed me, and because the women are a lot of fun to watch. So, all right, that's enough about bike racing. But anyway, I'm gonna think about that. And but I got to see. I got.
Put a comment below and let us know what you think.
There, right? Are you
let
interested?
Us know.
Yep. So
yeah,
working on the Fiber Talk event for March. We think we have a location. We're getting pricing on it. That is in near St. Charles. And St. Charles is an old city north of St. Louis, not very far north. But a lot of shopping, old boutique shops and old restaurants and a cool old town as opposed to St. Louis, which is just a, you know, big city with steel, yeah, whatever. So this should be a better environment. So we're looking into that and figuring out the pricing. But I think we're going to go ahead in March and have this event. It looks like it's Marga's piecing things together for us. So, I think so.
Marga's helping you out, huh? Helping us.
Hey, if she wasn't doing this part, it wouldn't happen because I hate doing this stuff. Just chasing down people. Can we get a quote? Can we get a quote? I'm out.
No.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. So, you need someone who likes to do that sort of stuff or doesn't mind.
Right. She enjoys it. She likes figuring these things out. I just don't have the tolerance for it. It's like making travel arrangements even for business trips. At some point, she just started doing them for me. I would just say, I got to go here on this day, and I'm coming back on this day, and she'd make the arrangements. I just hate it. And then I'd wait too long, and the flight price would be too high, and I just detest it.
So she's
figuring it out. So, you know, bless Marga. What is this about? Be Stitch Me Floss Drops? Did you?
Someone asked me where you at. It was on one of the shows. The Tour de France shows, you had those floss drops. And I got those
you gave me as a gift. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These blue ones. Yeah.
Right. And I think she still has them. But she had some that were like green, that were neon green, that were aliens. They were just nice. I don't think they were pricey. They probably were fairly inexpensive.
Okay, so that's where you got them at Be Stitch Me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're nice. I don't personally use floss drops, but I thought those were really very nice. And just I think those are blue, right? So yep. I thought, Gary needs some blue ones.
Yep. Yeah, they work fine. They work great. Every time I hold up a ring of floss drops with thread on them, I think of Captain Kangaroo's keys. Huh?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Remember?
I do. A long time ago. Captain Kangaroo.
Yep. Oh. There you go. Yep. For the young people. Yeah. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Sorry.
But, yeah.
Yeah. But you could, those floss drops, I think if you contacted Be Stitch Me, she might still carry those. I didn't notice last time I was in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where they came from, whoever it was that asked. So, mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Just wanted to let you know.
Go.
So are you thinking about doing the slate frame, lacing up your slate frame?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Did you lace one up?
No, but I'm thinking about it. So I've got it here.
You got it just like me. You got a bundle of wood. Yeah.
Right. Okay. But I have my piece I showed you earlier. So here it is.
Yep.
And I had to straighten it. It was quite unstraight. So that was the first thing I did is I had to straighten my edges. And then it's linen. So I did zigzag around it. But now my question is, this is from Hand and Lock. It's the Hand and Lock flocking and foiling class.
Oh, yes.
You can see
the
gold.
Yep.
There's little gold and then little flocking.
I see
now
little
we
flicks,
do a
lot.
Yeah. Can you see that?
Yep.
Anyway, so it needs a lot of embellishment. And she gave us gold work to put on it. Well, then I want to lose as little of this as I can. I thought about just putting it in a hoop. And I thought, no, I'm going to finish this into a pillow or something, a bag. So I only want to lose like an inch of my seam. So if I put it in a hoop, I don't have a whole area that I would lose if I hooped
it. Right.
So it has to go into a slate frame.
So there you are.
And I need to look at it. It needs to be out so I can look at it and think about what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. How am I going to embellish this? I mean, she gave us ideas. Lucy Martin, that's terrible of me. Lucy Martin and I can't remember the other lady, let's say Rebecca. But
that was in the class?
Mm-hmm, the teachers. So it has to be laced up. So I pulled my smallest slate frame, and I think this will work. Let's see, where's the, now we have to get it off the rubber bands.
Yeah.
But I think because you were discussing that with Jessica, and that's what made me think about it, is we have to, the size has to be a certain size to put on the twill tape, right?
Well, your twill tape, that determines how wide of your ground cloth can be, right?
Right. But you don't want a huge piece of twill tape.
You can't go wider. You can go smaller, but you can't go wider.
So this will work.
So it looks like that's going to be perfect.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
and then
that's perfect.
But the question is, should I put something on the two vertical sides to lace it? Does that make sense? Because I don't want to lace directly onto my...
No.
Fabric that I'm going to stitch. Okay, so I do need to add some sort of something on the edge,
sew some twill tape on.
Mm-hmm. So that way I can lace it.
Right.
And won't interfere with the design.
Right.
Correct.
But that, hang on just a second. I'm testing sound things here. Okay, the Jenny Aiden Christie technique is to put cording on the edge.
Right.
So that's, that works really well, I think, to do that. So, you know, you could just sew some heavy cloth on each side and then wrap it around cording, and then that would give you a an edge to lace to without messing up your fabric there. Yeah.
Right. I even thought, even if I just used some cotton, not real thin cotton, but just like quilting cotton, sewed it on the edge, and then made sure that other piece was how wide it was. Can't be too wide because I've got to still get to lace it up on the top.
Right. But you've got like an inch on either side of your twill there, don't you? Yeah, you've got an inch plus.
Yeah.
You got all kinds of room. Oh, yeah, you can play all day.
Yeah, so it'll work. That'll work. But I've been definitely, because I think sometimes if you don't see the piece, you really need to look at it. Because if you're going to add embellishment to it, how do you know what you're going to do unless you look at it, if you're changing it? If you're just following someone else's pattern, that's, you just go.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do it on your own, you really need to have it out, look at it, so you can kind of say, oh, yeah, that'll work. Or maybe I should add this. So I'm looking forward to playing with this piece of fabric, which has lovely, I guess we should describe it for the podcast people. As a piece of, it has... moths and butterflies and what are the yellow flowers? I think they're kind of like daisy. I don't know exactly what the flowers are. Yellow daisies and pink, purples, flowers, all kind of randomly, very nicely randomly, but placed on a piece of linen cloth.
Right. But see, that's the kind of, cloth project in general that you need to have laid out so you can walk by.
Right.
Because different days, different light, it's going to say different things to you. And so you need to be able to, I'm with you 100%. Yeah.
Right. Because you don't want it to get too busy, but it'd be fun to see, okay, what should I add to the piece. And this was the class, the flocking and foiling class was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, and it did make me think about projects I could do that I've had ideas for and how I could, you know, kind of move them forward. So it was a great class. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could use a hoop, or I could use a stretcher bars.
No.
But I think putting it in the slate frame is the best.
Right.
Best for that. Well, I don't think you have any other.
I don't think there's any discussion about it. That's going to be the best option.
Right.
Is a slate frame for that. Because when you go to embellish it, you want that as taut as possible, and the only way you're going to get that's with a slate frame.
Right, and I'm putting gold work on it. I'm not just doing, it's not just like stitching embellishment surface, which I do hoop up. I put in a hoop.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to add 3D gold work, you can't have any, my hoop is the biggest surface I can use, you know, whatever size, like an 8 or 10 inch, then you can't put anything else around it. Well, then I lose a lot of the pattern that's around. And I want it. Right. It's such a pretty pattern. It's hard to see, but it's just gorgeous. And I don't want to lose all that. I want to use as much of it as I can.
Right. Yeah. No, I think slate frame is the only choice you have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would get another piece of cloth and experiment attaching something to the side. Just because you don't want to mess up that cloth.
I'm thinking if I do if I sew it on with my sewing machine, actually mm-hmm. it should work. Yeah. And then because you just go back with the seam ripper and rip it out.
Yeah. Right.
It shouldn't be a problem. I'm not really worried about.
Okay.
As long as I put it right there on the edge where I've already got sewing. I've got an edging.
Oh, I didn't see you already had that. Oh, you've got. Oh, I didn't see that. Okay.
I did a little quick zigzag edge.
Yeah.
And so I know you're going to lose. I'm probably going to lose an inch in finishing.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, I already know that. But I don't want to lose 2 inches or 3 inches.
Right.
I want to play with this as much as I can.
Yeah, I didn't see you had it edged already. So, yeah.
So, yeah, definitely wouldn't just go straight. And see, you can see it was very uneven. Can you see my little frills?
Right.
Where I did straighten it, though, because I thought, no, this needs to be straightened.
Yeah.
This lovely linen cloth that's been printed.
Yeah.
The back is white. And it's been printed on the front.
That's nice.
So, it was fun. It was
fun. Fun class. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hand and Lock is getting their Lucy Martin.
Yep.
Someone commented to me that they really enjoyed the Lucy Martin talks. And I think she's opened up the diploma inquiries. I think she's having Zoom inquiries going on. So if you haven't gotten on that list, you need to get on the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're interested in that at all.
Right.
And I think that's going to be fun. That diploma.
Yep. She's doing some cool stuff, that lady. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very young lady.
Yes, I know. That's the other part. Yeah. Most people doing that kind of stuff are 60 years old, but nope, not Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
That's going to be it.
Okay.
Sunday is Gail Stafford. Yep. We're going to enjoy conic canvas work from Gail Stafford. And last Sunday, Kathy Andrews, do not miss that. Make sure you do that. And Rita Gecht, the tour from Wednesday. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. We do the best we can. Yep.
Sounds great.
Okay, thanks for listening. Bye.
All right, bye.